Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy day, and welcome to Walking with A Course in Miracles on Journey to Success Radio Network. I am your host, Christina Callender. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. Walking with A Course in Miracles is a show where we will be exploring how students of the Course are able to practice and really implement the teachings found within it into their everyday lives. I have been a Course student since 2007, and I will be speaking with fellow students from all walks of life about their challenges, experiences, and practices as they learn to follow the guidance of their inner teacher, the Holy Spirit, within the idea that only love is real. Now, before we begin, let me tell you just a little bit about Christina Callender. As I have chosen to be a consistent learner with A Course in Miracles, I have also become a consistent learner in life. I thoroughly enjoy consistently educating myself with regular intensive learning seminars, workshops, one-on-one coaching, and reading book after book. My dad has been an inspiring example of a consistent learner. He is most alive when he has the opportunity to put into action something he has recently learned. He seems to get younger all the time, and I know I share his love of learning. Currently, I am exploring being an entrepreneur and investor. I have been self-employed for several years, but owning your own job is very different than building business, I'm finding out. The newest project that I am a part of is an international community of people from diverse backgrounds from all over the world with unique expertise in their chosen fields, whose purpose is to help people on their personal journey to success. It is being launched in September, and right now I am looking for people who would like to try it out and offer feedback as we move forward towards going public. These interviews that I'm doing here on Blog Talk Radio will be a part of the content in my area on the platform. If you are interested, please contact me at walkingwithacim@gmail.com or find the Walking with A Course in Miracles Facebook page. One of my greatest loves in this world is playing the role of wife to my husband, Brad, and mother to our two children, Josh and Holly. My family provides me with endless patience, willingness to try and understand, and they allow the room for me to take the time to grow and learn within the relationship of living together. They also, of course, provide unlimited opportunities to experience and walk with the concepts of the Course. Today, I am very pleased to be sharing this time on Walking with A Course in Miracles with our guest, Jerry Hofstra. In Jerry's professional career, he was a faculty member of the University of Guelph in the Department of Environmental Biology. In his mid-40s, he became interested in spirituality and trained as a spiritual director and started directing on retreats. While taking further training, he took early retirement and went into full-time directing spiritual retreat and ongoing spiritual direction. This he did for over 20 years. Soon after his retreat work ended, he discovered A Course in Miracles and found it to be his spiritual path. It allowed him to see his spirituality in a whole new way, and he became committed to it. In 2007, he started teaching the workbook, and has been facilitating groups and working with individuals doing the text or workbook part of the course. I currently am part of one of Jerry's groups studying the text. One of his greatest joys in joining with others on their spiritual journey of healing and growing, one of his greatest joys is joining with others on their spiritual journey of healing and growing closer to God. In a sense, he feels he is living their journey with them, and he experiences the love of God as he sees God moving in their lives. Hi, Jerry. Thank you for joining us today on Walking with A Course in Miracles.
Hi, Chris. Good to be here. Thanks for asking me.
You're welcome. I'm glad we were able to connect this week. We had a little bit of trouble with that a couple of weeks ago. First of all, Jerry, can you share with us how A Course in Miracles came into your life and what sort of initial impact it had on you?
Okay. For me, it came in quite an unexpected way. I wasn't looking for it. I had never heard of it. After I stopped doing the retreat work, very quickly after that, my son gave me a book called Power Versus Force by David Hawkins. It's on levels of consciousness. And that book rather intrigued me, and I was very concerned about the author. Where was he coming from and all this? What was his belief system and so on? And as I did some more reading of his stuff, there was a mention of A Course in Miracles and the impact that it had on him. And then I started to run into other mentions of The Course in Miracles, so I thought, gee, this is something that I need to explore. So I bought myself a copy of A Course in Miracles, and I got right into it. I didn't know of anybody else in that area who was doing it, so I was on my own. And it was amazing. I wasn't into it all that long before I said, you know, this is for me. I can really relate to this. You know, which rather surprised me because of my background, where I had come from. I didn't think that I would be able to switch from the work that I had been doing on retreat to something that was seemingly so totally different. But it really spoke to me, and I decided this is my path. This is my way from here on.
Wow, that's a great way for it to come into your life. Very different from a lot of people who find that they pick up the book and then immediately sort of set it down and have it sit on their shelf for some time before they're ready to pick it up again. You felt that it came to you right at the time that you were ready.
Right, yeah. But in a very short time, I'd laid the one thing aside, and here, I guess, God was just waiting for me to clear some space so he could bring it to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
If I continued on the retreat work, I don't think I ever would have gotten into it.
No, it is very different from your background. Now, you work consistently with active students of A Course in Miracles, and you refer to the course as being a course in mind training. The course also refers to it as being a course in mind training. Can you tell us what is meant by that?
Well, the course has a totally different way of looking at the world, looking at situation, looking at people. And in this sense, it's a mind training. It trains us to look totally differently at people. And as it says in the introduction to the workbook, the purpose of the workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. So it is totally different from the way that we're used to looking at things. So it is very profound in that way, and that makes it a rather profound program and not an easy one to grasp very quickly. It takes a pretty consistent effort to come to grips with all the different ways, all the different perceptions that we now have, or the perceptions that we need to change, that we're just, according to the course, we're just way off, erroneous.
And what are some of the ways that you find you're able to practice this mind training as you go through your day, and some of the ways that you encourage your students to incorporate the practice in their day?
Well, for me, one of the critical things is to get into the workbook and to do the workbook. A person needs some kind of a practice or discipline and some systematic way of looking at various issues and perceptions that are wrong and to correct them gradually. There are so many of them that it takes a long time to get to come to grips with them all. And therefore, the workbook, to go through it systematically, one lesson at a time, is, to me, crucial. Without that, you know, just to read the text, okay, that's very helpful, and it introduces all the concepts, but it doesn't give you the practice and the discipline to really try and put these things into practice. Because the workbook offers a whole bunch of ideas and suggestions for how one might go about incorporating the various lessons into one's life. The first one and the main one is meditation, to meditate on the various lessons and to see how they speak to you. And I was used to meditation in my previous spiritual direction work. But now it is on very specific ideas that we reflect on in the morning and in the evening for varying lengths of time, depending on what you're able to do. But it also offers a whole series of practices during the day. It offers hourly reminders that we stop for a minute or so on every hour and either reflect on the course or just thank God for the hour gone by and ask him for his guidance in the hour to come. It has frequent reminders, and just stop and reflect on what the lesson is for the day, and it has what it calls response to temptation, which is every time an issue arises or an upset arises, how to apply the lesson for the day to the particular upset or issue that you are encountering. So with time, the lesson really becomes incorporated in your day. And some of the lessons actually ask you to do it every 5 or 6 minutes that you remind yourself of the lesson. So it really is to try and change our whole approach to how we look at things, how we work with people, how we look at situations. And it gradually becomes a mind training, a total change in our perception of the world and of everything in it.
They are very powerful in all the ways that you mentioned the lessons. I have found that the lesson titles have can be used as a mantra throughout our day. I know that at one point in time, one of the years that I went through the lessons according to the calendar year, I would use an elastic band around my wrist, and each day I would have a new elastic, and I would write my lesson for the day so that I would have it right on my wrist, and that really helped us. Or that really helped me. The course does talk a lot about being patient with yourself, though, because it can be sort of frustrating when you when the lessons ask you to remember, especially on a day when it's every 5 minutes or 5 minutes every hour. Pardon me, and you do tend to forget and get down on yourself for forgetting. Can you talk about how the course asks us to be patient with that and to just try again?
Well, it's interesting how aware the author of the course is of our tendencies to forget, to get sidetracked, and to think, oh, shoot, I've wasted most of my day. I haven't done it now for 3 or 4 hours. What's the point of doing it? I'll pick it up again tomorrow. The course says, no, the moment you think of it again, you just start and start again from there. And there's no point feeling guilty about it. That doesn't help anything. So the moment you think of it again, just carry on. And I don't know of anyone, regardless of how long they have been with the course, who is able to do all the practices perfectly, to never forget. And there are various ways in which people remind themselves. I have a little clock that reminds me every hour. I tend to memorize the lesson for the day. So that's I don't have it written down anywhere, but I'm pretty good at memorizing. But we do need reminders, whether it's some people have a thing on their computer screen that goes off every hour as a reminder, or can even put the title of the lesson on the screen, or they use post-it notes, et cetera. There are all kinds of ways that people use as reminders to not forget the lesson and to do what the particular lesson, and sometimes it's quite specific what the lesson asks you to do, whereas later on in the workbook, the practice is the same each day.
Mm-hmm. I have found sometimes that if I can't remember the lesson that I'm actually working on that day, I'm able to bring forward another lesson to at least help me get into the spirit of being present. So past lessons and those, it can be used as a mantra to just help bring you there.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I do that all the time, that there are certain lessons that have just stood out for me. And, you know, even just as I'm walking out, that one will come to mind. And if I'm having trouble remembering, which at my age does happen on occasion, you know, I use some of my favorite ones, you know. God is
can
the
you
love,
tell us
and therefore
some?
So am I, is one of them. And the one that I continue to have to remind myself, I am not a body. I am free, that my identity is not in my body. My identity is in who God created me to be. So there's a number of key ones that I keep sort of in my repertoire, so to speak.
Yes. I'll share just two of mine. I can see peace instead of this.
All right. Another
and there is nothing to fear.
Right.
Those two have helped me greatly. Jerry,
yeah,
can you talk about...
Those are very good in what we call response to temptation. Whenever you're upset about something, those two are two excellent ones. I could see peace instead of, you know, whatever's upsetting me. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Sven.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk to us about what the course teaches us about forgiveness and how incorporating forgiveness into our daily lives can bring us to a place of peace? And I'm not just talking about forgiving the big things, but talking about forgiving all the judgments that we hold, and as there is no order of difficulties in miracles, small ones are just as important.
Right. Well, forgiveness is the key aspect of the course. It has forgiveness as the foundation stone of our way back to heaven, or back to where we have never left, as the course talks about. So forgiveness is crucial, and it makes a major point. It is not the forgiveness that usually the world offers. The world usually offers forgiveness in a, okay, you know, I know you've done this, but I'm big, you know, I'll let it go this time. And you come from an era of superiority, and that's not at all the forgiveness in the workbook or in the course. The forgiveness there is said, I was not injured by what you did. Nothing can affect me. Nothing can touch me, and therefore it didn't actually happen. Therefore, the issue is gone. It is dealt with. It's not there. And so one becomes free and doesn't bring all that stuff that happens to us. We drag that along with us. So it's so crucial to be able to let go of these and live free from day to day, and not have to drag all the issues and all the gripes and all the judgments that we normally have carried with us. We're free. It's a real freeing experience to be able to forgive and say, it didn't impact me, it can't impact me, and therefore I can let it go.
Now, part of the process, can you explain a little bit the process of forgiveness? Because I know sometimes I can think that I'm asking for the Holy Spirit's help, and I'm just not feeling like I'm getting the help that I'm asking for. But of course, says when you ask truly, the Holy Spirit will be there to help you. And I find when I do that, there's a little bit of pushing down the ego thoughts that I'm having, rather than bringing them forward and actually having a look and being honest with myself about what my judgments are. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Okay, I can make forgiveness sound very easy and straightforward, and most of us don't find it particularly easy. We're not that keen to let go of the issues that, you know, somebody has done something to us or said something to us. You know, we feel, well, that person needs to suffer for that. He needs to know that I am upset, and there's all kinds of excuses that we have for not letting go of it and trying to make the other person feel guilty about what we have done, which is one of the key things in the course, is to make the other person feel guilty so I don't feel guilty. So forgiveness is not that easy, and as you mentioned, we do need the support and the help of the Holy Spirit to, you know, give us the strength and the wherewithal to really work through and forgiveness, and sometimes it can take us a while. It doesn't happen instantaneously, and I suspect for most of it, it doesn't. But by being consistent and looking at the issues, whether it's at the end of the day, you know, what issues have I got unresolved, or in the hourly reminders, that's a very good way of looking at it. Is there something that upset me in the past hour that I need to look at and deal with and let go of? So it's something we need to be continually aware of, because there's always things that are bothering us, somebody cutting us off in traffic, or somebody saying an unkind word, or somebody had forgotten their appointment and you're upset and you feel slighted. There's all kinds of things that happen to us, or kids upsetting us, or our spouse demanding of things that we're not prepared to do. There's an endless number of things, but to be continually reminded. And the hourly reminders, to look back on the previous hour and say, what is unresolved for me? What judgments am I still holding? And to try not to drag them with you for the rest of the day. So the hourly reminders are probably one of the critical things in the course, of not dragging stuff with us, of being able to look at them and to let go of them and ask the Spirit to help us again in the coming hour.
I think it was very key what you mentioned there, though, Jerry, that even if you miss it in the moment, you can, it's never too late. You can still go back and choose to look at that situation differently even after the fact. If you miss it in the moment, you can do it at the end of the hour, or you can do it at the end of the day, or even, I mean, we're forgiving things from our childhood, for goodness sake, so it's never too late to forgive.
Yes, and there's so many exercises in the workbook that has us go look at past issues and people, and to work through forgiveness, things that we've dragged with us maybe for 40, 50, 60 years even, that our parents have done to us, or our teacher has done to it, or somebody has done to it, and it's still there. We're still carrying this grudge against a person, and, you know, and we're not about to let it go. That's the person off the hook, we think, and he needs to suffer. But, of course, the only one that suffers is the one who is not forgiving. So, yes, there's so many instances, and I don't know whether you can ever say, now my forgiveness of all of this certain issue is now complete. It is no longer has any impact on me. Can I see that it has never happened? And people have asked me, how do you know when you've totally forgiven something or someone? And one of the things that I have suggested is, if the issue were to crop up again, or the person were to do the same thing again, would you be saying, oh, there he goes again, or there it's happening again? Or would you be able to say, hey, that's the first time that happened? And unless it is in your mind the first time that it has happened, you're still carrying something from the past with you, and that he's doing it again. So it has not really been resolved and totally forgiven.
Oh, what an excellent indicator. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, Course in Miracles talks about the teacher-student relationship. When the teacher is ready to learn, the student will present themselves. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the teacher-student relationship and how it works?
Well, as I mentioned, the first time when I first came across the course, I worked my way through the workbook, and I found some of it pretty tough going. Some of the lessons are not particularly easy, particularly those that are very futuristic. I said, I can never achieve that. And I wished that I had had somebody to take me through the workbook as a teacher or as a companion. And for the first year and a half, I couldn't find anyone. So I was on my own. So I really appreciated the fact that one can go through the course, particularly the workbook, in a much more meaningful fashion if one has someone to lead him or guide him through that. And that's what I've really been doing since, I guess, 2007, when I started to teach a group in Cambridge. But I have quite a number of people that I work with individually as pupils, either through the workbook or working through the text or both. So I found that it was a tremendous asset for me to have a teacher, and I have offered myself as a teacher to others who want to work through the course. So it makes one accountable to someone. It gives you someone who can explain some of the more difficult things to you. But I think more important to keep one accountable, to encourage us not to let go, but to keep up the practice as much as possible, because it's easy to let the practice slip.
Yes. Now, Jerry, I've just noticed on my dashboard here, and this is coming out of the blue for you, I know it would be a first time, but we do have a caller, perhaps with a question for you. Are you interested in taking a question from a caller?
Well, we could try it, sure.
Okay, thanks for helping me out with the first time, Jerry. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello. Who have we got on the line today?
This is Richard Parker. I was listening to your podcast, so I just wanted to ask a question with regards to forgiveness. How do you, when you see within that, okay, I have forgiven the individual, but it's a close individual, like a parent, like your mother or your brother, do you continue to maintain a relationship with them after you've forgiven them, but like you just mentioned, and then something pops up again, and subconsciously, or your ego says, okay, there they go again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you continue to maintain a relationship with them throughout the rest of your life, or is it okay to withdraw from them? Although you're forgiving them, you love them, but you're just withdrawing yourself from them and choosing not to maintain a relationship with them. because you have forgiven, and you just don't want to have that happen again to you.
Okay, well, that's not that straightforward a question that could be answered in different ways. Usually when forgiveness has taken place, the other person also senses a difference, that your relationship with that person is different, and that we may well open up the relationship in a different fashion, and you may want to continue the relationship. But I can see where there could be situations or circumstances where an individual or parent, whatever it may be, is just so persistent in doing certain things to you or saying certain things to you that are totally unhelpful for you, that it may be better for you to, at least for the time being, if not permanently, just to separate from the relationship, because you need to get on with your own life. But I would say that's would not be my first choice. I think forgiveness does open the door to healing, and if healing can take place in the relationship, that is certainly far preferable over severing the relationship. But you know, each situation will have its own particular characteristics, and some people are much easier to deal with than others, and some of the issues run pretty deep. And if someone puts you down continually so that you can't really move forward, well, maybe at least for the time being, I said, okay, just explain to them, you know, this is not helpful. I need some time to myself, and, you know, let's just not connect with each other for a while. Is that helpful?
Gary, thank you for that answer. And Richard, thank you so much for calling in and asking that wonderful question and for being our first live caller on Walking with A Course in Miracles. I appreciate your help with that. We're just at about the end of our time today, Gary, and so I'm wondering if people do want to get in touch with you and speak with you further about A Course in Miracles, can you give us your contact information for them to reach you?
Okay, the best way to get in touch with me is via email. I check my email regularly because it always comes up in my computer, and I spend a good part of my day in front of my computer. So my email address, I'm Gary Hofstra, and my email address is g.hofstra, H-O-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-R-A, @rogers.com. So g.hofstra@rogers.com.
Excellent. And I will post that on our show description as well, just in case you missed that. Okay, Gary, can you tell us just anything else you'd like to share with us about A Course in Miracles, maybe a little bit about how you feel it's changed your life since you've been working with it?
Oh, to me, it's just been amazing how it has changed my life, even though I was into spirituality, which had already had a significant impact on me. But now to see everybody differently, to see them from a totally different perspective, to see each person as a holy son of God, and that it's in our relationships is where we work out our issues, and that's where we grow. It's something that you can't do on your own. You wouldn't have all the practices that you need to incorporate into your life of working the Course into your life, and it does really change how we regard one another. How we forgive one another, how we carry each other in love, just a totally different way of relating to people, seeing one another. It's just been really incredibly life-changing for me.
Gary, I can't thank you enough for being here with us today on Walking with A Course in Miracles on the Journey to Success Radio Network. This has been just, as one of your students, it just has been an honor to be with you, and thank you for joining us.
Well, I really appreciated doing it. Thank you very much for inviting me, Christina, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay, you're welcome, and thank you, everybody, for joining us, and to all of you, happy day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.